Dateline Washington, Wednesday, March 25th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, reaction to the president's budget defense and a look at infrastructure reform. We'll talk with Texas Congressman Mike Conaway about both subjects as he introduces legislation to improve our nation's infrastructure and says that the president's budget blueprint price tag is just too big. Also in this edition, President Obama taking aim at tax deductions for your charitable contributions. We'll talk about that as well as whatever happened to middle-class tax cuts with Bill Ahern, Communications Director at the Tax Foundation. Plus, the case against Christopher Hill to be the next U.S. ambassador to Iraq. James Robbins, senior editorial writer at the Washington Times, is with us to explain why he believes the track record of Mr. Hill in the North Korean nuclear negotiations proves he's the wrong man to head to Iraq and especially deal with a potential nuclear program in Iran. And avoiding identity theft. We'll give you the tips on how to prevent it and what to do if you do become a victim with Scott Middick of Trusted ID. All that plus Wednesday's headlines are straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Congressman Mike Conaway, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, a Republican from the Lone Star State's 11th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts today on President Obama's press conference on Tuesday evening, in which he vigorously defended his $3.6 trillion budget blueprint, which should be coming up for a vote in both the House and Senate in just the next several days. What is the Republican alternative, and what are his constituents telling him back in West Texas? We also want to get the congressman's thoughts on his new piece of legislation regarding infrastructure. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's good to be with you this afternoon.
Let's start with the president's comments at his press conference. It was mainly an event designed to promote his budget blueprint, again, which is a record $3.6 trillion and could be closer to $4 trillion by the time everything's done. Basically, what he said was is that all the components are necessary for a comprehensive economic recovery. So anyone who wants to say that education or cap and trade or health care reform are not a good idea at this time are wrong. What do you make of his approach?
Well, I mean, everybody gets an opinion, and he certainly gets one. I disagree with him on many of those points. The cap and trade as cap and tax will actually create hundreds of jobs and kill thousands and millions of jobs. So it's he's wrong-headed on that particular piece. Plus the fact that spending the level of money that he wants to spend on top of the $787 billion stimulus package without paying for it other than borrowing it from future generations' income is also wrong. I mean, you know, we got to be careful. He's the president of the United States, and we owe, he gets the first bite at this apple. But unfortunately, he's sending us a bill that over 10 years will show the most massive deficits ever accumulated by this country, tripling the debt. And we've got to be very careful that we don't get so caught up in addressing short-term issues. And it is difficult and it's hard and as grinding as this current recession appears to be, and it is short-termed. It will not last forever. Even if we didn't do anything, it'll be over. And so while we work on trying to fix this and shorten the duration of it, let's don't lose sight of the bigger picture, and that is his budget with doubling and tripling the national debt takes a call or a future demand on future generations' income that is it's unfair of us to do. And so we got short-term problems. Let's don't use permanent debt that will never be paid back, because in order to pay back debt, you have to run a surplus. And he's currently bragging on a $533 billion deficit being the best that he can do over that 10-year window. Clearly doesn't allow you to pay off any debt. So permanent debt to fix a short-term problem, and we've got to be very careful that we do that. We've been doing it for years now. It's on steroids now, and it's wrong.
Congressman, we're hearing some rumblings that Democrats may tinker with this bill a little bit, whether it's a middle-class tax cuts or health care, the global warming provisions, and so forth. What do you expect from the majority, and what are the Republican alternatives?
Well, we will roll out our attorney. We will have a Republican budget that's surprisingly will be different from the one the Dems are putting forward. I don't have the details on it yet. The Budget Committee is marking up their bill right now as we speak here in the House. But I suspect that the bill that comes out of the House will look very similar to the president's in terms of total numbers, those kinds of things. Even the CBO has said that the president's been way too optimistic on his projections of what the economy will do over the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. which will make his numbers even worse than the really grim, stunning numbers that the president's bragging on at this point in time. So it'll be very similar to that. The Republican budget, I don't have the details on it, but it will be rolled out in the next few days, and we'll have a chance to discuss it and vote on it next week. But it will be focused much more on leaving money in the taxpayers' pockets. That does have a negative impact on the deficit, but I trust taxpayers to spend their money better than I trust the federal government. We will work at addressing those issues that have to be addressed, but it will spend less money than what the Democrats are planning to spend.
Congressman, what are you hearing from your constituents on this issue? Are they more concerned about doing whatever possible to revive the economy, or are they seeing these huge deficits coming and saying, wait a minute?
Well, the latter. West Texas has been blessed in the sense that we're not in the grinding recession that much of the country is, so we're a little bit different. It's, the unemployment rates are coming up and those kinds of things, but they're very concerned about the dramatic increase in permanent debt, doubling and tripling the numbers over 10 years, the deficit spending that the president has proposed. I got nothing but congratulations on voting against the stimulus package as well as the omnibus package. So folks in District 11 are much more concerned with the permanent debt than they are the short-term issues.
Congressman, as I mentioned in the beginning of our conversation, you are also introducing new legislation designed to deal with one area that's gotten quite a bit of attention in terms of how to create jobs and revitalize the economy, and that's infrastructure. But you're looking to focus on infrastructure in a very specific way. What does your legislation call for?
Well, this would look at the idea that if you build a bridge, as an example, it should have an expected useful life or a service life that the taxpayer who paid for the bridge should get every single year's use of that is planned for. A part of that requires maintaining the bridge, protecting it from corrosion, and those kinds of things. And so, it seems to me to make sense that if you build a new bridge, you tell us, how long do you expect it to last? What will be the life cycle maintenance costs? How do you intend to mitigate corrosion exposures? And every bridge has a different risk to corrosion, those kinds of things. So basically let the taxpayers know on the front end what it's going to cost to maintain that bridge properly to get its useful life all the way, to have it in place all the way through its service life. And, those are numbers that decision makers need to have in place. And then over the life of that bridge, if circumstances force you to defer maintenance, at least we'll know and have an informed decision that we're not spending the money on the bridge, that we may in fact be shortening its useful life by these decisions. So this is an idea to help or require state and local governments who use federal dollars to build infrastructure to estimate what the life cycle maintenance costs are going to be, put mitigation plans in place to address the risks that particular bridge or infrastructure will be exposed to. So it's trying to get ahead of the curve on these infrastructure projects and get us some information that help decision makers who, over the life of that bridge, will have to decide whether or not to do the maintenance and fund the maintenance and what impact it would have if they choose not to.
Congressman, I suspect the answer to this next question is both, but in terms of the infrastructure problems we're seeing today, is it mostly due to projects just being old and not replaced, or is it inadequate maintenance?
Well, I suspect it's more the former than the latter. But we did have a dramatic event, and obviously in Minnesota, that bridge was not supposed to. It was not at the end of its useful life or expected useful life. So, catastrophic failures like that appears to have this particular one appeared to be from corrosion that was not either found, seen, or corrected before the bridge collapsed. So, the idea is that whether it's benign neglect or your bridge is just flat wearing out, we as decision makers should know the implication of decisions we make as we go along the life of a piece of infrastructure, as an example, a bridge. So this bill helps address that, and it puts a tool in place that helps us address that so that, in fact, we don't have catastrophic failures as we've had most recently in Minnesota.
In addition to the safety factor, how much of a financial benefit might this bring?
Well, it hopes to, the costs are going to be what they're going to be on the maintenance side of it. Hopefully allow planners and decision makers such as state governments and local governments to understand what their commitment to this piece of infrastructure is over its lifetime and allow them to make better informed decisions as they move across the useful life of that building. So it's really a tool to help the folks who are going to have to make these decisions, make them in a more informed way.
Congressman, you alluded to the Minnesota bridge collapse from the summer of 2007, and obviously that crystallized a problem that a lot of people have been talking about for a while. Do you get the sense that this is an urgent priority on the part of your colleagues, and what other ideas are out there, legislatively speaking?
Well, of course, I wish that the more of the money in the stimulus package would have been designated for infrastructure, because I think if you build something that's going to last for 50 years, most of us could say, okay, well, there's obviously some stimulus in that. There'll be jobs created, those kinds of things. But unfortunately, a single-digit amount of that 787 was structured that direction. The sense of urgency, no, has waned somewhat. Obviously, the folks did a great job. The folks did a great job getting that bridge back in service in a very quickly time, you know, ahead of time, that kind of thing. So we are an episodic kind of folks. You know, immediately following the failure of that bridge, everybody wanted to do a lot of stuff. Now that that's seemed to fade from memory somewhat, it's there's not quite the pressure to the anxiety for the pending problems that we might have.
Congressman, real quickly in our last 30 seconds, I want to go back to where we started, and that's the president's budget. You mentioned that the committee's marking it up as we speak. When do you expect to vote on that, and do you expect any objection, significant objection from the majority?
Well, the committee will have it out of the committee today or tomorrow. It'll be on the floor next week, I'm assuming, from what I'm being told by the Dems. And it's in all likelihood going to be pretty close to a party line vote, I would expect, because it does spends a lot more money than certainly I'm comfortable with, and most Republicans would be comfortable with.
Congressman, we'll keep watching for that. And the Republican alternative, which you mentioned, is coming out in the next few days. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg. Good to be with you.
Absolutely, sir. Texas Congressman Mike Conaway represents his state's 11th congressional district. This is Dateline Washington.